Hi, I'm Dave DeWitt, and today I'd like to talk a little bit about the doctrine known as annihilationism. Annihilationism is the belief that after the final judgment, the human soul or spirit or consciousness of unbelievers will be totally extinguished in the sense of being destroyed so as to no longer exist. Some believe the soul of unbelievers ceases to exist immediately after death. Some say it's immediately after judgment. Others say it's after a time of suffering that justly pays for their sins. Forms of annihilationism have appeared throughout Christian history. It's taught by the Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, but more recently brought to the mainstream Christianity by British Anglican theologian John Stott, who died in 2011. Stott wrote this, quote, "The ultimate annihilation of the wicked should at least be accepted as a legitimate biblically founded alternative to their eternal consciousness of torment," close quote. I'd like to briefly say seven things about the Christian doctrine of annihilationism. First, annihilationists say the Hebrew and Greek words for forever do not always mean forever. Psalm 104, verse 5, "He established the earth upon its foundation so that it will not totter forever and ever." But the earth will eventually be destroyed or annihilated, 2 Peter 3, 12, Revelation 21, 1. Jeremiah 7, 7 says, "Then I will let you dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever," close quote. But here, forever only lasts 1,000 years after the second coming of Christ in Revelation 20. And then Revelation 19:3 says, "Her smoke rises up forever and ever," close quote. But this is the smoke of the tribulation destruction. It's unlikely that it'll last throughout eternity. It's true, I actually think it's a good point, that the Greek and Hebrew words for forever do not always have an eternal meaning. But they usually do. They usually have an eternal meaning most of the time. Forever usually means eternally. For example, Psalm 33:11, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever." Psalm 45, verse 6, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." 1 Peter 1:25, "But the word of the Lord endures forever." Matthew 25:46, "These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Number two, annihilationists say hell is called the second death. They say that just as the first death means bodily life and consciousness end completely, at the second death, consciousness and soul will end completely. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 20 say, "Then death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire," close quote. However, the phrase second death is used four times in Revelation to refer to the lake of fire, the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Nowhere in the Bible is bodily death connected to an end of human existence or consciousness. Death is the separation of the soul from the body, and according to Genesis 35:18, James 2:26, not the end of consciousness. Every glimpse we get into the afterlife has people alive and conscious of their surroundings. Number three, annihilationists say Peter and Paul call punishment of unbelievers destruction, something that's destroyed, goes out of existence, and is not conscious. 2 Thessalonians 1:9-20 says, "These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." 2 Peter 3:7 and 20 say, "But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being preserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men," close quote. However, the New Testament concept of destruction, Paul's eternal destruction and Peter's day of judgment and destruction, refer to the condemnation of unbelievers, not to their post-mortem condition. Jesus described the condition of unbelievers as cast into the outer darkness and the place where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and those who go into an unquenchable fire. These warnings would hardly be relevant if destruction was annihilation. The same is true of Satan in Revelation 20:10. Would they say Satan is annihilated? Number four, annihilationists say the Psalms describe the Lord's enemies as vanishing like the smoke, implying nothingness. Psalm 37:20 says, "But the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away." That's also in Psalm 68:2 and 112:10. However, the Old Testament statements of the Lord's enemies vanishing like smoke, as in Psalm 37, are about being eliminated from the land. Those blessed by him will inherit the land of Israel, and those cursed by him will be cut off from the land of Israel. This is about living in the land of Israel, not their post-mortem condition. Number five, annihilationists say God is merciful, Exodus 20, verse 6, showing loving kindness. And this is not merciful to allow people to suffer forever. However, the concept that it's merciful to terminate punishment does not understand the biblical concept of mercy. Mercy is unmerited compassion. It's for those who repent. It's not something we deserve after a certain amount of punishment. An argument that asks, would God release people from hell if after a time they repented, might have some merit? But that's not the annihilationist argument. One might also ask, what if those in hell continue to blaspheme, rebel, and not repent? Would their ongoing sin require ongoing judgment from a holy God? Sin is a godless perspective, not an isolated act. The evidence from those suffering judgment from the tribulation period is that they continued in, if not increased, their sin under judgment. Four times, Revelation says, they did not repent so as to give him glory, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. That's Revelation 16, 9 and 11, also in chapter 9, 20 and 21. Number six, annihilationists say God is just. Genesis 18:25 says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly?" They say eternal punishment is not just for 70 to 80 years of sin. However, the idea that a just God would not eternally punish sin assumes we can judge the judgment of God. The whole motivation for annihilationism seems to defend a humanist perspective or an atheist perspective. But from the perspective of a holy God, his justice requires his wrath. Why would God send Jesus to pay for our sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, thus satisfying the wrath of God, if the wrath of God could be satisfied by simply annihilating some people and not annihilating others? Number seven, annihilationists claim that saints could not be happy in heaven knowing their unbelieving friends were suffering eternally in hell. However, as to this idea that saints would not be happy in heaven if their unbelieving friends were suffering in hell, God said from Isaiah 65:17, "For behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and former things will not be remembered or come to mind." Thank you for listening. A longer paper on this subject with footnotes for the quotes is available on our website, relationalconcepts.org.